To find out more about the issue of U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq, we called back Peter Khalil of the Brookings Institution. I asked him whether there's any possibility Iraq's new government would demand immediate withdrawal of American forces.
I don't think it's a realistic option at all. There might be some fringe elements of the Iraqi political leadership that might have some smaller number of seats in the assembly that would push for this, particularly Saada's people that might be there and other Sunni groups that might get in the assembly who would be calling for a complete withdrawal immediately. But they are not the majority voice of the Iraqi political scene. I think the more general Iraqi political parties would be calling probably for some sort of phased withdrawal over the next couple of years, at the very least to get the perception out among the Iraqi populace that they are a nationalist government, that they are a legitimately sovereign government, and they're pushing what are seen as the occupiers to leave the country.
It could either be a date or a phased timeline. What would a phased-in timeline look like?
I don't think it should be pinned solely on calendar dates. It should be a bit of conditionality mixed with having set times for unit withdrawals. And what I mean by that specifically is that you can talk about particular US units leaving Iraq on a particular date, but only if certain conditions are met, so that in that particular area where the unit's operating, the Iraqi security forces have actually and realistically taken over responsibility for offensive operations against the insurgents with minimal US support. So they're the conditions that need to be met as you have that phased withdrawal. And that phased withdrawal could happen, to give you an idea, over the next 12 to 18, 24 months as better trained Iraqi security forces come out who have the capabilities to deal with the insurgents. But there needs to be a period where they're tested really out in the battlefield with some US support. And if they're taking over responsibility, then you can start withdrawing particular US units.
From the US point of view, does that mean that in a sense US troops are held hostage, if you will, to Iraqi security forces getting up to speed?
I've not heard it described that way, but it is actually quite accurate in some ways. They really can't leave until the Iraqi security forces are capable enough of taking over the major responsibilities against the insurgents and really taking over full responsibility for security more broadly. At present, there are actually 120,000 Iraqi troops trained and in uniform, but they don't have the capabilities to take on the insurgency directly. They have other roles and functions, and they haven't been actually trained in counterinsurgency specifically. There's a small number.
7,000.
Around 7,000 of those have the capabilities to take on the insurgents, and that is growing. But until that number of specialised Iraqi forces gets to an adequate number, they won't really be able to take over much of the responsibility from US troops who are currently conducting offensive operations.
And how does the reconstruction and getting the economy going play into this? At some point, that has to matter.
Absolutely, and it's not just about security, it is about economic reconstruction and the political process, and a combination of progress in all those three areas have to go hand in hand, really. And as far as economic reconstruction, we're looking at something like 30 to 40% unemployment rate currently in the country, and that's just official estimates. It's probably much higher than that. So there are obviously real dangers over the next 12 to 18 months. I don't doubt that at all. But so there needs to be a combination of progress in all three areas for it to actually happen as far as U.S. troop withdrawal.
Peter Khalil is visiting fellow at the Saban Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. This is Morning Edition from NPR News.